الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في الكلام المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل نفس ذائقة الموت ثم إلينا ترجعون وقال أيضا تعالى في مقام آخر كل نفس ذائقة الموت ونبلوكم بالشر والخير فتنة وإلينا ترجعون وقال أيضا تعالى في مقام آخر ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم وكان الله شاكرا عليما وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له وقال أيضا عليه الصلاة والسلام أكثروا ذكر هذه اللذات الموت وقال أيضا عليه الصلاة والسلام نعمتان مغبوض فيهما كثير من الناس الصحة والفراغ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رسالة الشريف اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم Dear respected brothers, elders, youngsters and sisters listening on the receiver at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us life after death. What I mean by this is every day we die. Every night when we go to sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes our ruh, our soul out of our body. And in the morning, at the time of Salatul Fajr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns our souls back to us. When we sleep in the night, before we sleep, we make the supplication in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught and told us, Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. O Allah, in your name, bi ismika, amutu, I am dying now. We say the words in Arabic, amut, I am passing away now. Wa ahya, and life is in your hands. Life is in Allah's hands. After we go to sleep, we are not in control whether we wake up or not. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. O Allah, in your name I die and in your name I wake up. And we see some people, we rarely hear about it, but there are certain people around the world, they die and they don't wake up in the morning. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided their date and time to be that day. So Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayh, he says that a person, before they sleep, every night before they sleep, they should think that if I was to be present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I would ask for another day. Why? Because we haven't done enough good deeds in our life to come face to face with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that every night when you go to sleep, you have to think and imagine and pretend that this is the time you are passing away now. This is the time you are passing away now. And then in the morning when you wake up, you have to think and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given you another day to prove yourself to Him, to change who you are, to do good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful life. And in the morning when we wake up, we say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي أَحْيَانَا بَعْدَمَا مَاتَنَا وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. O Allah, I thank you. أَحْيَانَا بَعْدَمَا أَمَاتَنَا. That you have given me life after death. That you passed away in the night, but you gave me another day. And the best, and the best, and the best way that you can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, is to wake up for Salatul Fajr. Is to wake up for Salatul Fajr, which is fara'id upon the Ummah. If a person, he misses Salah, any Salah, but I'm in this context, I'm talking about Salatul Fajr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, بين العبد وبين الكفر ترك الصلاة. The difference between a mu'min and a non-Muslim is Salah. So if you are a person who doesn't wake up for Salatul Fajr and doesn't read either in the masjid or in your house, and you go and you wake up, you have breakfast and you go to work, what is the difference between you and a non-Muslim? What is the difference? We all get on the tube, we all go to work, we all get dressed to go, get ready to go to work, whether we work from home, whatever we do. But what's the difference between you and your business partner who is a non-Muslim? The difference would be that in the morning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed Salatul Fajr upon you, you have accepted His command. And as I always mention this ayah, Iqra Kitabak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, He will give you the book of Kitab. Iqra Kitabak. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Oh, you read your own book, you read your own a'mal. From the moment you are born until the moment you pass away, you read your own kitab and your hisab. So at that time you won't be able to say, oh Allah, I did pray Salatul Fajr. Because that book, Kiram and Katibin, has written everything. If you missed Salah on a particular day, did you do qaza of it? Did you make up for missed Salah? And on that day we will have to pay for our actions. You know, in this life, when we do something wrong at work, there are consequences. You get suspended without pay, you get put on leave, you get fired. Everything in life has consequences. But there's more good to life than bad to life. So in the same way, if we follow the commandments and the rulings in which Islam has taught us and told us that we have to do certain fara'id. I'm just talking about fara'id here. Salah is faraz. Hajj is faraz, if you have the financial wealth to go. Zakah is faraz, sawm is faraz. I'm just talking about the faraiz here. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the capability to wake up another day, you must, regardless of your health, you have to pray salah. You have to pray salah. So we wake up in the morning, and then we pray salatul fajr, and we go up, out and about our day. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us another day. And the reason why I'm mentioning thankfulness and death today, as I recited in the khutbah, is because in the last few weeks, as you may be aware, there has been quite a few deaths that we know of within the local community. First, as I'm sure 99% of you are aware, our Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib's daughter, Sumayya Yusuf Patel, she passed away. I think it's 1 week today, she passed away. And you know, it's a very, very sad situation. Because as I mentioned last week, after Salatul Fajr on Saturday, normally when we go to a janazah, we normally go to a person who's burying their mother, who's burying their father. Because that's the norm, we bury our elders. But in this context, and it's a rare context, we go to a janazah where a father is burying their daughter. But at the same time, this is a lesson for us. Maulana Yusuf's daughter was only in her early 40s when she passed away. And little did she know that that morning when she will wake up, that was her last day. Little did she know that when she was going to leave the house, she wasn't going to be returning home. It's a wake-up call from us. It's a wake-up call for us, sorry. No matter what our age is, people pass away when they're in childhood, teen, and adult, and elderly age. It's not guaranteed that you will live until 60 and 70 and then you will die. Yes, that is the norm, that a person reaches the elder age and then passes away. But we hear about it so many times when a young person passes away. But it has to make us think, if our ruh and our soul was taken away today, you think in your own heart, how many of us are ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we fulfilled the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we fulfilled the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And some people, they're ready for death. They're ready for death. They're ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because they have the confidence and the trust and the tawakkul and the faith in them that I have enabled myself to follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have read my salah, I have given my zakah, I have been for hajj, I have done my siyam, I have faith and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have good akhlaq, I have good relationship with my parents, I have good relationship with my spouse, I have been a good Muslim. And those people, there's only a few of them in the world that are ready to meet their Rabb. Now if I was to ask you this question, if I was to ask you to put your hands up, how many people sitting here right now, if Malakul Maud came at this door, how many people would run away? And how many people would just stay still and get ready for their soul to be taken away? Maybe 2-3 people. Because these people are rare. They have the connection with the deen. They have the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what your age is. Islam doesn't have an age. Islam doesn't say when you become 30, when you become 35, after you get married, after you have children, then you become practicing. No, Islam starts at a young age. This is why we send our children to madrasa, to maktab, so they can learn about Islam from a young age. And then enable it into their lives, so they become practicing Muslims. Islam doesn't start at the age of 40. Islam doesn't start when your health deteriorates. I have become unwell now, I will pray my salah until I get better, and then I will not pray salah again. A lot of people, this is their mindset. And then a lot of their mindset is for 360 days in a year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you good health, has given you everything you wanted, but for 5 days when you became unwell, you had vomiting or you had diarrhea or you had anything, now you start to complain. You can't complain when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has handed you everything on a plate, and yet you're still complaining. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهِ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرُتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرُتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرُتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be grateful for what you are given, otherwise I will take it away from you. So in terms of Malikul Maut, we have to prepare. No matter what our age is in this room, we have to do the good deeds. We have to come for Salah. Why is it this masjid at the time of Salatul Jummah and in the month of Ramadan, this masjid is full? Everyone sitting here is waiting for the khutbah and the Salah. But when we come for Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr, Zohar, that room is full. Where is everyone else? You have to ask the question, and then you could give some excuse that, you know, people go to work during the day, but do you not return in the evening? Maghrib is, okay, Isha is 9 o'clock at the moment, or around that time. Why are you not coming for Isha? Why is the masjid not full for Isha? If the masjid can be full for Salatul Jummah, Salatul Jummah is Farz, is Salatul Isha not Farz? We have to ask this question. Because on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask these questions upon us. And as I was saying, some people, they're ready for death. They're ready for maut. My grandfather, rahimahumullah, he passed away last Sunday in India. May Allah grant him Jannah. He was 85 years of age and not a single health problem. Not a single health problem, alhamdulillah. He never complained. Only in his last few weeks of life, he became unwell. He had a chest infection. He was treated at home with a few courses of antibiotics. But he didn't improve. So the doctor said he had to go to hospital for further treatment. But at that time, he told his son, my uncle, who he lived with, he said, get me ready for my ghusl. I'm ready to meet my Rabb. He knew death was coming. He had the signs. And only pious people get these signs. He said, do my ghusl. When we go to the hospital, do we do our own ghusl before we go? Do we know that when we go to hospital, if we get admitted, we are going to come back out? We don't know. So my grandfather, he said, do my ghusl, get me ready. I want to be in a state of tahara, of cleanliness, when I meet my Rabb. He was in hospital for 2 days, and then he passed away. It's the same with my grandmother. She passed away a couple of years ago, and she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer a few months before her death. A few months before her death, she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. But she had no symptoms. She had no, so stage 1, stage 2, stage 3, no symptoms. It's only when she started to develop stomach pain, it's when she went to the hospital and they did a CT scan, and they realized she had stage 4 cancer. And like I said, the last few days before her death as well, before she went to hospital, same situation. She said, let me have my ghusl, I want to do my ghusl, I'm ready for death. These are pious people. Pious people. Sheikh Sulaiman Mullah, some of you may be aware, he was saying a story the other day that he said he went to visit someone in the hospital, a young person, and this person was at the end of life, and in the last few hours of life he was smiling. So the family were confused. He's about to die, why is he smiling? So the family asked him, why are you smiling? He goes, can you not see the people at the end of the bed dressed in white? Can you not see the people at the end of... There's no one there, by the way. He's not hallucinating or anything. He's seen Malakul Maut. He's seen the angels. They're coming to get him. He says, can you not see the people at the end of the bed? They are smiling and saying salam to me. Salamun. Allah says in the Quran, salamun alaykum. Tibtum fadkhuluha khalidin. We'll welcome you into Jannah. These people, they're pious. We have to have that level of iman inside us. Because if we were to pass away, today, our state would not be good. Our state of iman would not be good. Our salah is not according to the Sharia. Our zakah is not according to the Sharia. We are, as people say, we are dirty Muslims. Not in terms of cleanliness, but our soul, our ruh is not clean. We have to fix this. We have to fix this. In the same way, before I end the khutbah, as we are aware that our Imam Maulana Yusuf Sahib, his daughter, beloved daughter, passed away. First and foremost, we make dua for her. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive her shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make her grave from the gardens of Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost grant Maulana Yusuf sabr at his time. As I mentioned last week as well, his wife only passed away 2 years ago. So he had to deal with that trauma in his life. And now, 2 years later, his daughter has now passed away. We are not aware of the janazah yet. Inshallah, when the details will come out, it will be distributed on the WhatsApp group. And inshallah, the management and the committee will ensure that the imam leading the salah will make the announcement. Inshallah, a day prior or on the day that the janazah will be taking place. And as I mentioned last week as well, Maulana Yusuf has served this masjid for the last 30 years, approximately. For the last, he has given his time, his life to this masjid to serve and protect us and keep us within the deen and answer any questions we have related to fiqh. And the least we can do for Maulana to show support is attend his daughter's janazah. Whether you are at work will give you time off. They never can say no to time off for a bereavement, for a funeral. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing with family, whether you're at work, when you get the details of the janazah, ensure as musallis, and as, like I said, as musallis of Nurul Islam Masjid, who have been coming here for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and Imam Sahib Maulana Yusuf has been leading us in salah, in khutbahs, in bayans, in talks, in whichever ceremony he has done for us, the least, as a Muslim and as a musalli, our obligation upon him and upon his family is that we attend his daughter's janazah. And if we have time, we should go and sit at the house of Maulana Yusuf. If you need the details, just ask me and I will give you the details. Even I went on Monday, alhamdulillah, to sitting 5-10 minutes. You don't have to sit for an hour. 5-10 minutes. You pay your respects, you recite Surah Yasin. And that's all Maulana Yusuf needs. He needs sukoon and support at this moment in time. You know, it shows solidarity and it shows that we as a masjid at Nurul Islam, we care about one another. We care and support, and especially as an imam who has served us, like I said, for the last 30 years, the least that our obligation is upon one another is to be there for him at this hard and, you know, grieving time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him sabr, grant sabr to his family, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all those who have passed away. We don't forget those brothers and sisters who are suffering in Palestine, in Gaza. It has been going on for a very, very long time. Every day we see videos, we hear news that, you know, this has happened, this school has been bombed, this hospital has been bombed, people are dying every single day. And those people in Gaza, they are ready for death. They are ready for death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the same iman that those people in Palestine and Gaza have. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.